You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Thursday, 6 March, U.S. balance of trade data due later today, expected minus $127 billion. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Chantal Marx, Spur and Woolies, Kobus Loubser, CEO of Curo, on results. Modest increase in learners, but retentions are good. Cashboard CEO, Van der Jager, results not much benefit from lower interest rates nor two-pot money, it seems. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb: Transnet and trade unions square up over wage demands. State-run ports and logistic group seeks to avert strike threat by raising its wage offer to just above inflation over the next 3 years. And Business Day, GDP data reveals mining investment horror show, says Minerals Council. South Africa's mining capex declined 9.6% year-on-year in 2024 in real inflation-adjusted terms. Morning markets. US was green. S&P up 1.1%. Nasdaq up 1.4%. The East is mostly green. Sydney is down 0.8%. Tokyo up 0.8%. Hong Kong up 2.8%. And Tencent up 5.8%. Commodities mostly green. Gold futures 2,933. Brent 69.75 is red. Platinum is 981. Palladium is flat 956. Rand 18.29. Bitcoin 91,600. Top 40 looking for a green open, 825 points or just over 1% higher.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Trading now with Chantal Marx, Head of Research, F&B Wealth and Investments. Chantal, appreciate the early morning. Let's start with some Woolies numbers. It's the same old with Woolies. Food, really, really good. Clothing, and some of it is sort of their own goals. But clothing, more fashion, beauty, although beauty did okay. But fashion, struggling.
Yes, it's the age-old Woolies narrative that's playing out again and again, and this time was no different, as you mentioned. So food sales up 11.4%. That is exceptionally strong. I mean, it was complemented slightly by the Absolute Pets acquisition, but they still showed market-leading growth. And the narrative out there is that Woolies Food's the grand grocery store, right? It's got more expensive price points and the like. But yeah. I think that what they've gotten right there is that your basket of kind of essentials really isn't that more expensive than, for example, a Spa or a Pick and Pay. But the quality that you're getting from the fresh business just kind of sets it apart. And also, I think that the innovation within that food business is constant and just absolutely incredible. So momentum really positive there. Fashion, beauty, and home, there was that own goal with the distribution center. I hate it when these guys start fiddling with their distribution because inevitably it ends up like this. Over the festive season, they actually had stock outages of stuff that people actually wanted to buy from them. And that's just an own goal, as you mentioned. Can they turn it around? Absolutely. I think that fashionability is already improved. The quality is already improved. It's now just a matter of giving people what they want. And then the Australian business, I also think, has a recovery path ahead of it. But, I mean, the numbers we're getting out of Australia really is a function of a struggling Australian consumer. I mean, they only got their first interest rate cut a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Cost of living is exceptionally high there. I mean, some of the businesses will be distributing into New Zealand where they're actually in recession at the moment. So I think better times are ahead. But I don't want, I've been burnt before with Woolies, with SA Fashion, Beauty and Home. So I'll wait for the change to really materialize before I actually put money behind the stock.
Yeah. And I take the point about distribution centers. They need to warn the market when they're doing something there, because aside from ShopRite, you managed to open four in double quick time. It always goes wrong. Spur, on the other hand, we are eating out, and they've got the new Doppio collection that did nicely. But broadly, I mean, Spur did well. A balance sheet free of debt, a much better set of numbers relative?
Yes, it was really, really solid. And if you consider that we are only at the beginning stages of an economic recovery, the results are to the six months in the 31 December, which means that, I mean, things were still pretty tough, I would say, up until the first interest rate cut. Mm-hmm. Still tough after that from a disposable income perspective, because 25 basis points does not a huge difference make.
Nope.
But at least it made people feel a little bit better about their finances. But I think that what they have here is a really solid portfolio of restaurants. I think the Doppio acquisition, it contributed so well, and I think that it's a brilliant fit for them. They don't really have much in terms of day trade when it comes to the kind of coffee shop vibe, and it's done very well for them. And then Spur and Panarotti is just kind of turning the wheel slowly, but I mean, now these businesses are turning into compounders. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, as a parent, is there any other place you can take your child when it rains?
The answer is no. I mean, absolutely, it's not. Rain, birthday, just everything. Spur, it's actually wild. Spur owns that market like we've probably never seen before. We leave it there. Chantal Marks, F&B Wealth and Investments. Always appreciate the early morning. That's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Spur, are you eating out more? Or maybe you're just eating out more at Spur. But have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. Let your money weather the storms with Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in the Stanlib Global Select Fund, a diversified all-weather equity portfolio submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Kobus Loubser, Curo CEO. Results for year ending December 24 saw revenue up 8%, HEPS up 13%, dividend as well. Kobus, appreciate the time. The big number for you, of course, is learners flat for the period, lower 2025 enrollments. I'm imagining this is not that anything's fundamentally changed within Curo. This is more perhaps an indication of the state of our economy and our consumer.
Yeah, Simon, thank you for having me on the show and for taking an interest. I mean, I think you're right. If I reflect on 2024, it was an exceptional year for Curo. It was a remarkable year in many ways. We had our best matric results ever. We had record performances on the sports field and cultural and, you know, kind of activities, record levels of engagement. And I'm very proud of the education that we offered and the opportunities that we created in 2024. So in that context, I guess it's frustrating that all of that success did not translate to that many more learners. But maybe we must just also be realistic about it, is that we still have more than 72,000 learners in our schools, and that's a lot of kids and a lot of demand and a lot of interest. And we did sign up 14,600 new learners. That number, admittedly, about 1,000 lower than in 2023. And of course, from our perspective, we would have liked to see that more. But our core task is to offer education and to do so at an exceptional level. And I'm very proud of the success we had in 24, certainly looking forward to 25, because we just expect more of that in this year.
Yeah, and not to take away from your other 70-odd thousand learners, but you also got an Olympic medal by proxy. We shouldn't bury that for a moment. You've got about capacity for another sort of 30,000-odd learners. Are those concentrated in certain geographic, or is that broadly across the group?
It's relatively broadly across the group. And I think, you know, that in a way it would have been easier if, yeah, you know, there was big weakness in particular regions or particular areas. But I think South Africa is at the moment in a moment where we're not really growing. And that exerts, you know, kind of pressure across the board. So it's not really an urban versus rural story. It's not really this region versus that. It's not really between models. If I kind of connect the dots, you know, we're very proud that the retention of learners within our system actually improved in 2024, which we think endorses the experience that they have and our strategies to create more opportunities. So that's a very positive thing for us. But if I look at the kind of, I guess, the weakness, it still is with younger families and younger grades. And I think we've done a lot of work in that area to make sure that facilities are shipshape, to make sure that, you know, price points are a little bit more attractive. And, mm-hmm. and there's more work that we must do in that regard to recapture some market share there. The simple fact is that, you know, it really makes a difference for a child to experience excellent education early. You know, the ability to develop, you know, literacy, reading skills, mathematical ability, and numeracy, to do that early is very, very powerful, you know, in the rest of their academic professional careers. So we want to make it easier and as easy as possible for families to join as early as possible it's discernible the difference that we see later on for learners that they've had an exceptional start to life, and we want to try and give that to them.
Yeah, and perhaps that retention number is the better metric in a sense, that once they're in this system, they stay there. And this, of course, all plays into credit losses. I mean, you talk around people being poor. We had GDP, 0.6% population growth is, 1.5%. We are literally poorer. And that does then show in the credit losses that have gone up.
I think so. I mean, the credit losses did surprise us a little bit in the sense that we've actually, over the last maybe 2-3 years, we've had great success with improving collections, improving, you know, the kind of aging of accounts and so on. And we've sophisticated processes. We've engaged very effectively with parents. Mm-hmm. And things certainly did, again, the first half of 24 was an improvement on 23. But in the second half, and that, again, I think does speak to an economy where people perhaps anticipated or hoped for more relief from interest rates, a quicker improvement in inflation, and that didn't really sort of play out like that. So, you know, I think a lot of families bowed out, you know, that, you know, hopefully we'll be able to get back. But families remain under pressure. And from a financial perspective, we are custodians of shareholder capital, mm-hmm. and we have to evaluate risk. And we have to account for that. So we had a look at the there's about 100 million rand increase in our debtors book. You know, we kind of provided for much of that because we don't know. I mean, there's risk, and we will always be prudent about how we view these things.
You've also got your two newish campuses in Namibia. This is a joint venture. How's that doing? I mean, certainly sort of the moving beyond our borders is sometimes fraught with risk, but I suspect Namibia a lot less so.
You know, if you compare the two new schools, one is in Walvis Bay. And, you know, Walvis Bay is a well-known, established, you know, harbor. There's a lot going for it at the moment for Namibia as well. And so we've established a school there. It's beautiful. It's literally kind of right next to you at the Namib Desert kind of starting in our backyard. So it's spectacular from that perspective. And, you know, we're excited about its potential. And then the other school is in a town called Ongwediva. Ongwediva sits next to Ondangwa. And it's way north in Namibia. And it's just a spectacular oasis in that area. Lots of interest, lots of excitement from an area that's fundamentally been underserved by quality education and private education. I mean, that whole strip in the Caprivi all the way across to Damaraland. So from that perspective, a wonderful initiative, lots of excitement. We've seen good growth already. And I think it just demonstrates that if you can put a proper product in front of a community who's hungry for the opportunity and aspires to access it, you can do well.
We'll leave it there. It's Kobus Lopesha, Akira CEO. Always appreciate the time. Let your money benefit from experience with StanLib Asset Management. Find out about StanLib Global Select Fund, which follows an investment discipline that has delivered results for 3 decades.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Anna DeYaga, Cashboard CEO. Results for 6 months ending December, revenue up 5%, HEPS up 4%, dividend a cent higher at 326, and net asset value up 2%. Vanina, appreciate the time. You mentioned in the results statement that the two-pot interest rate cuts, etc., really hasn't translated into expected growth in the building retail sector.
No, Simon, it hasn't, unfortunately. I mean, if you look at Stats SA's latest results for retail in our industry specific, it's still down 2.7%. So we have not seen the benefit of it. It seems like consumers have spent that money on taxes and food and paying off some debt and some household items.
Yeah, I mean, certainly. I mean, we saw Spur results. They were definitely having some dinners out. Are you seeing certain sectors within the average cash board that are sort of perhaps struggling or doing better? I mean, I don't know, cement, tiling, or is it pretty much across the board?
We've always had good sales over the, even through tougher times on our decorative products, but we've lately seen that our cement has come back quite nicely and that all the, let's call it the wet trade products, are doing well and doing better. So all in all, it is better. You know, it's a slow and steady increase in the sales, but it's in the right direction.
And Buckyboard, and this used to be a large part, and I think a lot of them have sort of exited. Are they still significant?
Yes, indeed. They are in our lives very significant. They make up a big portion of our revenue. Mm-hmm. But with our aggressive pricing on cement, we've seen that we are also getting a bit more retail into the business. So we've seen a nice 7.7% increase in feet into the stores. Mm-hmm. And that made our average basket slightly lower, but still overall, because you know the retail customers typically buy less than on a basket than what the bucket builders will do.
Yeah, okay. But they're coming into the stores. Post results, has it been a much of a pickup in Jan and February?
Yeah, the first 7 weeks after our half year, we had a 6% increase in revenue. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I must just warn, the last 2 weeks or so had a bit of a moderation on that number because of the inclement weather. But all in all, it's looking positive. And it's like I say, it's a steady upward curve, not shooting the lights out, but we're comfortable with that.
And how's input cost pressures coming through at Cashport? Are you seeing significant cost pressure? Are you able to pass it on?
You've seen we've had a slight reduction in our gross profit margin percentage. And we had a low inflation of about 1.5 when you look at selling price inflation. Mm. And on the other side, you know, distributors and suppliers are in the same boat than we, you know. So everybody is sharpening pencils to make sure that they get their fair share of the business. So we've had a bit of pressure from that side. But for most of it, we've been able to pass it on to consumers.
In the results, you mentioned the Cashport small model stores. I have to be honest, I hadn't heard of these before. What's the concept here? How they're doing?
We've opened about 7 of them now. It's Cashport stores. A small model is probably not the right word to use. It's an alternative model because what we found is space for a traditional Cashport within the normal boundaries is very difficult to find. So this is a model that helps us go into pre-existing buildings that's maybe not our standard footprint, but that we make work. And means we termed it small model stores, but it's really for us a bit of a more flexible model to be able to open more stores in times when it's space is not readily available.
Would that also perhaps be maybe more urban areas? To your point, there's just less availability of the space you need.
It is, but the ones that we have opened that mm-hmm. we've approved are actually mostly in sort of the town and rural areas. So it's not necessarily urban.
Cash and cash equivalents up strongly. The short answer is that you remain a cash generative business.
Yes, and you know, when you look at the comparative in June, there was obviously a low number because of the cutoff. We had a 53rd week, so we paid suppliers before cutoff. So we're back to normal levels. But yes, you know, our cash generating cycle is positive, and that's how we do. Our name is a bit of a giveaway how we do business. So,
no, fair shot, Cashport. We'll leave it there. Werner Diaga, he is, of course, CEO, Cashport. Appreciate the time. That's it for today. I was chatting with Peter Engelbrecht yesterday. He, of course, CEO of ShopRite. We're talking about food price deflation. He was saying about 35% of goods have become cheaper over the last year. The question we put to you was, have you seen food prices coming down at any point? Almost 3/4 said not in your basket. Almost 1/5 said still expensive to eat. The rest were saying, yes, we have seen some price drops. Some examples, weirdly, candles got mentioned a lot. I thought load shedding was over. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobokle, Nicole Masekla, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us a positive rating and a review in your podcatcher of choice. We'll chat again tomorrow, Woolies Fashion.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.